and then you look at each of those notes and you either tally them up and find out how many there are, or you cross out one word and turn it into a fill in the blank. And that's the information that you need to put into your marketing for the freebie, is, you know, learn the six ways that Tom and Terry come up with to write effective copy in 4 hours or less. Okay?
Yeah.
Because we did mention 4 hours. It was probably six tactics or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about it, so put our names in there. And when you hear that, your mind has to think, well, I wonder what those six things are.
Right.
You know, I can probably think of four, but, you know, there might be two more that I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
And it's free, so why not?
But by doing that, do you not develop just a list of freebie seekers?
Yes, yeah, you would. I mean, but isn't that everybody? Is there somebody out there who's not interested in something free?
TJ.
If you were to go out and go, I don't know, Jay Abraham's master list and say, I'm going to strike out anyone who's interested in freebies from this list, how many would you have left at the end of the list?
Right. Okay. I gotcha. So it's giving away a freebie up front isn't necessarily going to set up your list as a bunch of freebie seekers who never buy anything, that all they're looking for is freebies.
How much does a subscriber cost you? If you have a confirmed subscription and your unsubscribe works, it really doesn't cost you anything.
No.
Another reason that I actually, in general, I prefer having your freebie not audio,
mm-hmm.
because then, one, you're paying for bandwidth, and two, you're less likely to get passed along from it.
Okay.
If it's something that's emailed directly in the autoresponder, then it's easy for them to forward to their friends. Or if it's, you know, if it's just a 10-page white paper and a PDF, yeah, they can attach that to an email, or they can even print it out and, you know, somebody else in the office might read it. Using audio as your freebie, it depends on how much you're already investing in your server and what kind of rates you have for bandwidth, how targeted the people you're sending to your freebie page. But if all you're doing is emailing basic written word, then I would never ever worry about how many free people are on there. It really doesn't matter.
Okay. So how then would I maximize the response from that list? Now they've got a free PDF report, free audio, whatever. How do I basically get them more into a buying frame of mind so that they don't feel that everything they're going to get from me is free?
I think it comes down to building a consistent rapport. They should know about how often you would send out something that's small but free, and how often you're going to send them something that that is a sponsored offer.
Okay.
And is going to cost them money, but it's also going to be of value. I don't recommend that as soon as there's a new product out, then you stop sending free articles. You know, or you stop sending, you know, anything free. Especially, if you have a new product, you're probably going to be sending something free with it. But I've seen it plenty of times where all of a sudden there's a list that used to be going, you know, once every 14 days, and now I just got four emails in a row for the same product over and over without really any new information to it. And that's usually about the point when I unsubscribe, because I'm not saying that repeated marketing messages don't work or can't convince you, but I think it should be when you're dealing with an email list, it should be a new, a fresh approach, at least, in every email. It only takes a few words. It could be, I'm sending this information again because it might not have reached all of my subscribers. There was a computer error. And that's a lie that works.
Right.
I know, we've used it before.
Yeah.
There is actually probably one of the most effective ones is the follow-up testimonial. If you launch a product to your list and you get that one person who signs up right away, call them on the phone and just tell them, you know what, I want to hear exactly what it does for you, and you know, I'll refund it for you, or maybe you start with beta testers, but send actual results from people on your list, even if it's not your product. You know, if you didn't create the product, that's fine, but as long as you can get that information, which you should if you're dealing with a reasonable affiliate,
mm-hmm.
you should at least have their email address to show how that they purchased from you, or through your link. Contact them, tell them, I want to hear exactly what it did for you. Then you can send a follow-up email, whether it's a week later, and say, you know what, I just wanted to tell you about, you know, John Smith, who acted on this and bought the ebook right away. He is a business professional subscriber just like you, and here are his results.
Okay.
And that's a way to, you know, to follow up. Even take that success story and ask him, of all the emails, which one convinced you most, or which one did you find most valuable, and say, you know, this was the email that did it, or that was most valuable to him, and then reprint that one and send it out. It only takes, you know, a paragraph introduction to make the same information new.
Right, okay. So you could just basically change the first paragraph and leave everything else the same?
Yeah, because most of it is the same.
Right.
You know, how much is different about an angle? An angle really isn't that much.
Right, that's true. So what about the technical side of it? How do you manage all this, basically capturing people's information, their name and their email address, and then going about sending out the actual email that you're going to send to them? What kind of software have you used in the past that worked well for that?
I'm sure most of those questions are probably about the ASOP days. Almost everything that we used was either built from scratch within the company or was heavily modified within the company.
Well, what about you now on your in your personal business now? What software?
Tell you the truth, right now I'm in the process of switching, so I can't offer any results right now, simply because the software that I've been using hasn't really been as reliable as I would like.
Okay. What are you using now?
It's called Mail List. It's a PHP mailing list program. And I originally started with that because I was on a server that didn't even have MySQL. And so I had to do everything using a text file. But I've since upgraded, and I have MySQL databases. So now I can use that and use the one that I'm trying, I think, is called PHP List, which is a pretty popular open source mailing list organizer,
okay,
management software. It's fairly simple to set up, but I'm still in the process of making that transition. So,
okay, what about on your? We're talking a little bit more on your personal side. How do you quickly get through all the clutter? I mean, you said you were mentioning that you read a lot of your email and you visit a lot of websites. But how do you decide? I mean, you're probably like everybody else. You get about 100 or 200 emails a day. How do you decide what clutter you can sift through and what you should actually be spending your time with?
Now it really comes down to the Simpleology daily target praxis. At the beginning of the day, when I go through the 15-minute process and decide what absolutely needs to be done that day, usually checking email is not on there. So it's something that's done after all the important stuff is done. For me, because I love marketing and I love selling and I love copywriting, it's almost leisure time for me. Not to say that I wouldn't like to watch a movie instead, but I appreciate reading a lot of these emails. So it's okay for me to spend, you know, even an hour reading email in my more flexible time. I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm just quick about it. I let things catch my eye. I always keep an eye on my wallet. I keep track of all my personal expenses, and that helps keep me from buying anything that I don't need to.
Okay. Where then, from a business angle, like you were saying, you sit down and decide what you need to do for basically take 15 minutes of the day at the first of the day and decide what needs to be done. How do you prioritize that as far as what is it that has to be done first, second, third? What can kind of take a back seat?
This is all straight from Simpleology. So this is,
okay,
this is Mark Joyner, and this, I mean, a lot of it's common sense, but you have to actually do it. The first thing you do is, well, you know, get your materials together and clear your mind a little bit. Sit down, you do your brain dump. That's where you take a piece of paper and you write down everything you think you might need to do. You copy over a couple things that maybe didn't get finished the previous day. So you have that list and you just get everything out. And that only takes maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Then you go back through that and, I have to see the steps in front of me, but, and you look at what you've written down for your major targets, your long-term targets, your short-term targets. Keep those in mind as you go back through the list and move anything on there that can be done later, is not essential. And when you put your targets in mind, it makes that process really, really simple. You know, the hard part is figuring out what you want in the end, and then use backwards planning to figure out what steps are necessary before you get there. Once you have that, that's the hard part. Once you have that, that will guide all the little details for you. It really is simple. I remember the day that I was sitting there and I wrote probably 25 things that I wanted to do in one day, and one of them was, contact Hero about mentoring.
Uh-huh.
And, the process, I don't know, maybe took me a half an hour, but I realized that that was something that was probably going to be a really, really big step towards my major goal. So it stayed on the list, and you know what? I did it that day, and I didn't check my email in between. And then once I sent that email off and did that, I didn't worry about it. I was fine because I still had plenty of things that I could do that would help me get towards my goal later on. You know, I probably, after the process of 25 things that I brain dumped that day, I probably had 12 that were really essential. Other things were things that might be nice to do or that I wanted to do or would make things look cleaner or, you know, make my directories nicer on my PC. I don't know.
Okay.
We all go through those phases of things that, that seem like they'd be important, but they really don't actually get you anywhere.
Right, yeah.
So when you put it all in perspective using the daily target practice, it writes itself. It really does. And you have to go through that training session that Mark's put together to understand it all.
Okay.
But it's simple. It really is. It's the art of not making things any more complicated than they need to be.
Right. Really prioritizing your day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about you, your email system. You have a spam-free email system that you have just recently developed.
Yes. Well, no, I developed it 3 years ago by accident.
Okay. But you've just recently now put it together so that the rest of us can benefit from it as well.
Right. Since starting Simpleology, I realized that it would be beneficial both to me and to the rest of the world to put this into writing and teach people how to do this. I know for a lot of the internet marketers out there, it might be kind of surprising that I didn't create a product for this. I didn't sit down and pay a developer to code this and that. And I wrote a book. It's a short ebook or a special report that you'll get mailed to you. But it's not really a business. It's more of a non-profit. It's a revolution. It's a new angle on email. Everything that I've ever seen that has to do I'll take that back. Most of the solutions out there for spam are either server-based content filters, IP blocked addresses, or are user-based content filters. Now, what that means is either a server is reading your mail for you, looking at what's in the email, and based on that determining whether it is unsolicited commercial email, or a filter on your computer, which you have trained or set up, is determining whether your email is unsolicited commercial email. Or you have an IP block list, which says all mail from this domain probably contains unsolicited commercial email. Having worked at a major newsletter distributor, by this I'm talking about ASOM Marketing, and having been their abuse manager, I know how damaging and how barbarian the block list method can be.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that in America, many of the block lists simply block whole portions of the world?
So anything coming from a specific country would be blocked?
Yeah, anything coming from China is blocked, anything coming from Russia is blocked, anything coming from India is blocked. If you look at India and China, do you know that that's, what, a third of the world's population?
Yeah.
Now, if you're running a business where you're supposed to be marketing information that is worldly, we're not talking about the United States wide web. You're talking about the world wide web,
yeah.
And you're going to have some unknown programmers with their own agendas are determining whether mail from a certain country is reaching you and may inadvertently block out one third of the population of the world. That seems so fundamentally wrong to me.
Yeah.
Now, they are effective at what they do. They prevent a lot of spam from reaching inboxes. That's true. But the method that they use is imperfect. A content filter, I think, is even more backwards. It really is backwards. because, yes, you may be able to use a content filter to determine whether an email is commercial or not. Okay? Now the term for spam is unsolicited commercial email. We know it's email. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. We can pretty much tell if it's commercial.
Right.
But how in the world can a filter ever know if something that you're that's being sent to it is solicited or not?
Right.
There is no way that a content filter can ever know verifiably whether you solicited something or not. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I may have filters on my computer that automatically filter out all mortgage-related email. And for 99% of the people in the world, that's great. That's fine. Until the day that you actually want a mortgage. You know?
Yeah.
Most of the things that are being offered are products, and most products apply to some person at some point in their life. Yeah. So it really does not make sense to me that you would filter based on content. And that they've only done that because there really hasn't been another way.
Yeah.
Now, another solution that gets a little closer, and where I borrowed the idea a little bit, is a service called, and there's a couple other different versions of this, but there's a service called Spam Hotel, and they allow you to use disposable addresses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the process goes like this. I want to sign up for this free lottery giveaway, but I'm pretty sure that if I sign up for it, they're going to take my address and sell it to, you know, whoever out there, and all of a sudden my information is being recycled, all right?
Yeah.
So instead you go to Spam Hotel, you put in your username and your password, and you set up a new address, and it gives you this bloogity-bloog address that looks like, you know, AGQRCTW43218 at spamhotel.com, and you use that to sign up, okay? And that's all fine and dandy. Then as soon as you start receiving spam at that address, you go back and you log into the site and you turn it off, okay? Now, no matter who they sell that gobbledygook at Spam Hotel address to, it's never going to reach you. Right?
Right, okay. Yeah.
But you're still going to receive all the rest of your mail. Right?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay. Now, that's pretty good. That really is pretty good. But it still doesn't help you in the event that the address that you have actually does get compromised. There's many, many, many ways that address could be compromised other than just giving your address out to the wrong person at the wrong time. There are viruses, there are, you know, forums and news groups where you post where you don't know about it and the information is public, or simply you post to it and you think it's safe but it's really not. And the problem is, once your information is out there, your root email address, once that is compromised, there isn't anything else that you can do to perfectly eliminate spam. Okay? And so what I developed is a way to firewall your email. Now, you've heard of the concept of a firewall for your, you know, home or office network, or for your PC now. I mean, it's built into Windows. It says, I'm going to set up this digital proxy where you can, you know, send as many bombs to it as you want, and you'll hit the shack on the outside, but it's never going to reach the house where I actually live.
Okay.
Because there's that big pile of bricks in between. And that's exactly what my method does. And it's a little involved. I will say that. It's a little involved. You really need to read the whole thing the whole way through to understand how it all fits together. I'll try to hint at it a little bit more for you, though.
Yeah, if you can kind of, how involved is it? Is it something I need to be a programmer to do, or?
Oh, no. You don't need to be a programmer for it.
Okay.
But you're going to use disposable addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that method really is great. Now, there's two ways that you can set up disposable addresses, and one of them is free for everybody, and this is a recent development. The other one is the one that I've been using for years, and yes, you do have to pay a little bit for it, but you're not paying me for it, okay? And it's a completely commoditized method, right? And when something is commoditized, that means it makes it pretty easy to find the best price based on the actual cost of the resource. The way that I use is owning a domain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you have to own your own domain and set up hosting with somebody who both allows a catch-all address and unlimited forwarding addresses. Now, those are two services that you may see sometimes, but usually won't see together on the same hosting provider at a reasonable rate. So I've done some of the research for you because I've been through some of the ones who gouge you, and I've you know met with all of that torment, and I finally found some providers who can offer that at a decent rate. Now, once you do that, you can set up any email address that you want. Okay, I'm pretty simple. When I go to Amazon.com, I can set up Amazon.com@savemyemail.org. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is I don't have to log in anywhere to set that up. I just type it, and it's there. And it works automatically, okay?
Okay.
Because I have my catch-all set address set to send mail to my POP address. Now, here's the other thing.